Welcome to The Graceful Warrior, the podcast where grit meets grace and strength is matched with righteousness. Join us as we delve into the stories of those who navigate life's battles with poise and determination. Each episode is a new chapter in the quest to embrace challenges with an open heart and a steadfast spirit. So lace up the combat boots and let's embark on this journey together. This is The Graceful Warrior, where every battle is an opportunity to rise with grace.
Well, hello, hello, Graceful Warriors. How are you doing this fine week? Hey, we're almost getting ready to go into spring. We are, this is our last full week of April. We did it. We got through the first month of April. Everybody should be getting their gardens ready, flower beds, roses, you know, all kinds of things that we are getting involved in over this start of summer, right? I have been working in my garden. I've been getting it all lifted up, loosened up, making sure everything's ready to go. I worked in my flower bed today, and I am sporting, check this out, I am sporting the new Graceful Warrior hat. You can see the emblem on here. I love it. I like the worn look, girls. It's a good hat. I'm trying to get something to where we could put Graceful Warrior right on the back. All right. So I'm wearing my Graceful Warrior hat today. What we are going to do, I think what I'm going to do for this t-shirt drawing, and I've been thinking about it and kind of going, what do we do, guys? What do we do? And what I want to do is if you go and follow, like and follow, this is what we're going to do. Go and like. Let me get the item first. All right. Right here, this one, full of grace and grit and no quit type thing. That's what I should put. Full of grace and grit, Proverbs 31:25. What I want to do is we have about 145 followers on the Graceful Warrior Facebook page. And I want to get to 200, all right? So what I want to do is get to 200, and then maybe that 200th person will get this shirt, and then I will draw a name from the hat. I will put make sure I have, even if I gotta sit there, I will do 200 names. Well, it'll be 199, right? Because that one person will get this shirt. I will put everybody's name in a hat. I will write it out. I will take a picture of it. I will post it on the Facebook page, the Graceful Warrior page, so you could see that your name is in there. And then what I will do is on Mother's Day, if we have reached 200 followers on the Graceful Warrior Facebook page, then I will draw on Mother's Day a name out of the hat. That person will get a free shirt from the Graceful Warrior merch store, all right? So the 200th person will get this shirt. The name drawn out of the hat will get a t-shirt from the Graceful Warrior merchandise store, all right? Can you pick it? I'm going to think about that one, all right? So let's get to 200, get your friends, get the girls to follow. Let's reach that 200. They have an opportunity. Once we get to 200, if we do it before Mother's Day, then great, you know, we'll reach it. But Mother's Day, that's when I will actually pull the name out of the hat and the 200th person will win this. So we'll have two prizes, okay? And then I will contact those two individuals, get their mailing address, and then you will have your shirt coming to you. in the mail, all right? And I'll make sure that a tracking number goes on that so I can track it as well as you can track it, all right? And then all I ask is that you take a picture of your shirt that you can either have it on or show that you got it, take a picture and post it on the Graceful Warrior page. So let everybody see that, yes, you did get your shirt, all right? To keep it all honest, to let people know that, hey, yes, the Graceful Warrior did send that shirt. Yes, I did receive it, all right? Fair enough. So let's get to 200 followers. Number 200 will get the shirt. And then I will draw a name out of the hat and you will win a shirt. All right. I will pay for the shirt. All right. And that's how we'll get it going right there. We were just kind of like thinking. So, and then with that, we have an awesome study that's we're going to deep dive into. And, so I want to get into this. So make sure that you get your friends, get your family, get everybody to join in on the Graceful Warrior Facebook page. Like, follow. You got to follow, okay? You need to follow and come in and just get them to follow the page. And then we will do the drawing. So two things will be one. So let's help each other out. All right. And then maybe we'll do a drawing in the fall for something else in the fall, maybe a hoodie or something. We'll see. All right. So today I want to talk. Let me put my eyeballs on so I can read my notes today. Right. So today I wanted to talk about, I wanted to pull away just for a minute. The topic of slaying the giants in our life, those giants where our emotions tend to get the best of us, and it's bringing it back into control, you know. And how do we know when our emotions are out of whack, you know? Well, you got to listen to those certain episodes. If you have struggling with anger, fear, doubt, discouragement, go back and look at the playlist, look at all the different ones and see which one that you would like to listen to and get some encouragement or perspective on dealing with that emotion. All right. So today I wanted to just pull back a little bit just this week, and we will finish this series, but I wanted to take a look at something that I'm noticing a lot out there amongst the Christians, amongst social media, and it is the Enneagram. And you're like, what's the Enneagram? Exactly. So I want to talk about what the Enneagram is. Is it Christian and should we be using it? And then I want to give some perspective on what happened to me when the Enneagram was presented to me. And how I found out and all of that. So I got lured into this. And so I want to share my story as well. And then just let you know, what does God say about the Enneagram? All right. So I hope you stick around and grab your notes, grab your Bible, and let's dig into the Enneagram. All right. So first of all, what is it? Where did it come from? Actually, it has a Greek meaning. Enne means nine, and gram, when we think of send an Instagram, remember doing those grams in school when you would send those little heart grams and all that, doing all those different things like that? Well, gram means something written or something drawn, right? So Enne means nine, gram means something written. So it is nine drawings or nine written somethings. When we're going to get into that, what does the Enneagram mean? Nine what? All right. Hang on. We're going to get into this. All right. But let me give you a little bit of background. Where did this thing come from? The Enneagram began way, way back in the mid-1800s, 1866 timeframe, from this Armenian Greek guy named George Gurdjieff, right? He was known to be a mystic. That should send red flags right there, right? He was known to be a mystic. He was known to be a spiritual philosopher. He was raised Eastern Orthodox. He leaves that for this so-called spiritual journey, right? I don't understand how you can leave God Almighty and whatever your Eastern Orthodox was. He left that for the so-called spiritual journey. And then, of course, we go downhill from there. He and his followers, next thing you know, claimed that they had these supposed encounters with spiritual teachers. Spiritual teachers, right? However, Gurdjieff, and he had a student who was Russian, and his name was Auspensky. And they, both of them, had this large influence, right, on later on the New Age movement. You see where this is going? Right? Just keeps going down the drain to, we might as well just flush the toilet on this one, right? I wish I had a sound thing. I'll be like, the flush, right? And so we could see clearly right there, just from the one who created Gurdjieff, who was a mystic, who got into spiritual philosophy. And then I said, well, what is actually, have you ever thought about this? Like, what's a philosopher? We hear of philosophers all the time. So I ended up sitting down and I go, okay, philo means a love or to like something, right? The osifer part, when I started breaking the word down, a philosopher, the osifer part means what you believe in or what you think about, you know, so you put that together and it's like what you think about, love what you think. You created that philosopher, that spiritual philosopher, a spiritual person who likes what they think or believes. They believe what they think. And you're just like, wow, that's kind of scary because you got to have facts first, right? And then someone that's a mystic that deals with all into the spiritual New Age crap, you know, that's just something to totally run away from, right? And so why should we not be using it? We clearly just understand the fact of where it came from. It came from this Armenian guy, this Russian guy that got knee-deep in the occult, mystic, New Age movement. They're the ones that created this. Jesus tells us that we need to imitate Christ in the fruits of the Spirit, right? As in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. We should use that to describe who we are. And so what is the Enneagram as far as this? They have created a 9-point gram. And the gram is almost like in a weird shape of all these star points, a 9-pointed star, you could even say, right? And let me see. I want to bring this up and show you this so you could kind of see for those that are watching this. Let me look this up here. I want you to see what this Enneagram actually means. And let me share my screen here with you guys so you could see this. That one right there. And I'm going to put myself right here and bring this into you. All right, so take a look at this. This is the Enneagram assessment right here. If you're looking at the screen over here, over on the right-hand side, it's a personality test. Have you ever gotten one of those personality test where it just says, hey, do this test and let's find out what hero you are. Do this test and let's find out what kind of an attitude you are. What kind of gifts do you have? What kind of a Hollywood star are you? Well, all of those come from the root of this, the Enneagram. It is a personality type test. And basically, the 9 points, the NA meaning 9, right? The 9 represents 9 different personalities. And then they want to say, if you take this test, you can, trying to bring it up for you, find out, are you the peacemaker? If you could see it, if you could see it right here, maybe I'll be able to do this. I'm not sure. All right. You should be able to see this from me. Yes. Okay. Are you, starting from the top, even though it's point number 9, the peacemaker? And notice the peacemaker's on top. Let me start all over. The reformer is number 1. We're going to go clockwise. The reformer is number 1. The helper, the achiever, the individualist, the investigator, the loyalist, the enthusiast, the challenger, and then the peacemaker. And you're like, well, these don't sound so bad, Monica. No, they don't sound bad at all. To be able to find out if you are a helper, are you the one that doesn't want to be in charge, that you just want to help? You know, are you the one that is the investigator? You have to find out who, what, when, where, and why in a scenario. All right. That's what these all are, right? But notice it's almost like a 9-pointed star, except it doesn't connect right here at the bottom, right? Well, that's what the Enneagram is. People are doing this thing and doing it every different way, to the point of churches are now implementing the Enneagram inside the church. Can you believe that? They are bringing this in and they are saying, hey, let's do this test on our members, find out what they're good at. And then guess what? If we need someone to investigate, if we need someone that's a helper, if we need someone who is a loyalist, we need someone that's this, all of those different personality types, then we know who to go to. And they're calling it Christian. But where did we just find out that the root of this was? From someone who was involved in mystics, right? And then he got somebody else with him to go into New Age junk. And they started encountering spiritual teachers. They didn't notice that it doesn't say that they met with some men who were teachers that guided them into this. They said they had encounters with spiritual teachers. You don't have an encounter with your pastor. You don't have an encounter with the women's ministry ladies. You meet with them, right? We don't say that. So for them to say they had an encounter, they were dealing with the demonic. They had encounters with demonic spirits, because this came from a mystic and spiritual philosopher. And then another guy who got involved in New Age religious cult, right? So that is what the Enneagram is. It's a personality test. And you're like, well, what's wrong with that? I hope we just explained it with who created it, right? It goes so much deeper, and I just wanted to give you guys the gist of it, because as I look deeper into this and the people that started getting involved in this, oh my gosh, I'll give you a little bit more as we go on and show you just how bad is this Enneagram and should Christians be involved in it, all right? So first, let's narrow down. Why should we not be using this? Well, clearly, it comes from a mystic person. It comes from another person that got involved in the New Age religious cult movement, right? But God also says that we should imitate Him. Our personalities should be who we are, but we need to imitate Christ in Galatians 5:22. To have the fruit of the Spirit, they said, there's an old song that says, they will know us by our love. The word says that we are the salt of the earth, that we should be the light on a hill to the people. We should allow our light so shine before men that they will see the glory of God. They will be able to say, man, there's something different about him or her. So we need to stay away from all of that, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about all kinds of gifts that the body of Christ has. It says, if there's teaching, let him teach. If it is serving, let him serve. You know, if it is, you can go on to, if it's a worship team member, let him sing. Let him lead it, right? If you want to just serve at the church, let that person serve. Those are the gifts that God talks about, not about all these personality things, you know? And then we wonder why we don't know who we are, because we have to go by some spiritualist or mystic nine characteristic diagram that came from the occult to figure out who we are. And we wonder why the church is in such a disarray. They don't know anything about the Lord because they are so worried about, well, what's my personality type? And they take this test instead of finding out who we are in Christ, you know, that says that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We are heirs to the kingdom of heaven. That's who we are. So we don't need to be told by some mystic, some new age person, some test to tell us who we are. The Bible strongly condemns spiritism, mediums, the occult, and psychics. Let's look at some of these. If you have your Bible, or if you're just listening, like I always say, continue driving, right? If you're listening and your computer or anything, if you have time, grab your Bible. Let's take a look at Leviticus chapter 20. I'm going to go to the Old Testament because, and I want to use the Old Testament in this study because back then they dealt with so much of the occult, so much demonic things. You had the Egyptians that worshiped gods. You had Israel that was led by wicked kings that made them worship all of these demonic spirits and bow down. So that's why I want to use a lot of the Old Testament because, man, it slams on how much we should be staying away from all of this. And so Leviticus chapter 20. And it's in verse 27, and I'm reading from the King James Version, and it says right here, a man also, or woman, that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Their blood shall be upon them, the one that was a wizard or who is involved in the occult. So that's what they were told to do back then. Do we do it now? No, we don't. It'd be cruel, right? We came at a point where, what was it, the Salem witches. They were all of them that they found that were true witches. They burned them at the stake. But then we gradually got out of that, and we have allowed America to get involved in all of this demonic stuff that is out there. You can call 1-800-PSYCHICS. You can do all this stuff, and you can have tarot cards. You have New Age things that just show up as stands at certain events, and you have all of this that they just like, come, come. You know, they entice you for all of that stuff. But God says to have nothing to do with that, right? Let's look at another one in the Old Testament. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And Deuteronomy 18. And we're going to go to verse 10. Deuteronomy 18:10. And it says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire." Talking about all of that New Age cult religious, you know, demonic stuff where people would walk on fire, right? "Or that uses divination or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." Verse 12, "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before you. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God." Man, he lays it right out there. He condemns all of this spiritism, mediums, the occult, fortune tellers, palm readings. Notice that it says, and I wanted to bring this up too. Notice it says, "or observer of times." We have a lot of that right now out there. People want to sit there and go, "Oh, it's the sign. It's a time of this. Oh, this is going on. Oh, see, look, it's the sign of the times, you know. Make way." All of those people that preach false things. You know, Jesus gave us signs. He gave us Matthew 24. He gave us the signs. He said to watch for these things. And then he said, "Be careful of people who say Christ is in the wilderness. Be careful for people who say it's the sign of the times. Be careful, you know, follow the word of God." People look at numbers, numerology. You've got this thing going on with when it's 222, it means something. It's spiritualism, you know. That means two means this, five means this. Yes, God says certain numbers meant certain things when he stated them in the scripture. But God never said that at 2:22, which only shows up twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon, that it actually means something. People start reading into things and they become more hyper spiritualness, however you want to say it, hyper spiritual. And we have to stay away, you know, from all of those things. We have to stay away from horoscopes. We have to stay away from tarot cards, astrology, numerology. People, you know, astrology says, "Well, I'm a Scorpion because my birthday is in November." No, that came from all of the New Age cult stuff. You know, people says, "Oh, you're a Virgo because you're in September." No. I was born in September because God said that was the right time for me to be born in September. I was born at the time God said. So, no, I don't claim all of that astrology stuff. God says to stay away from horoscopes, tarot cards, astrology, numerology, fortune tellers, palm readings, seances. All of these fall into this category as well. We have to I just want to tell you, stay away from this stuff. God says these are an abomination to him. He can't stand it. He hates them. And for those that get involved in that, you will answer for it. These practices are based on the concept that there are gods, plural, that there are spirits, you know, that they're or deceased loved ones, when they think that they could talk to the dead and talk to psychics and bring all of this stuff up, you know, they could talking to deceased loved ones who can give advice and guidance. You know, all of these are demonic spirits. Let's look over at 2 Corinthians. Go over to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's go to I think it's verse 14. Let me see. Yes, verse 14. All right. And it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Verse 15. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So see, they can transform into angels of light and try to deceive you and say, "Oh, see, this is good. I'm going to tell you about your late grandma or late grandpa, that they love you and they miss you. They died way back when, and now they have a message for you. They are watching over you." No, they are not watching over you. The Bible gives us no reason to believe that deceased loved ones can contact us. If they were believers, then they're in heaven enjoying the most wonderful place that we are all wanting to be in, and in fellowship with God Almighty, seeing him face to face. Right? If they were not believers, they're in hell, suffering unending torment for rejecting God's love and rebelling against him. Jesus says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you serve the Lord, right? If you have given your heart over to the Lord, that's where you are. You're not just floating around as some spirit and go, "Well, I guess I'll go visit my great-granddaughter and give her a loving message today. Tell her I love her." No, that's not how it works, all right? And you say, "You know what? But Monica, it's just an innocent test for fun to see where your gifts are, to see what kind of personality you have. What did we just read in God's word?" You know, but it is finding out who you are in Christ. God will tell you. If you search his word, for those that are watching me, if you search his word out, he will tell you who you are in Christ. All right? He gives you a new name. He creates in your heart a new thing. And one day you will see it because of the changes that he does in your heart. I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord. And I was like, "You know, I'm still the same. I still deal with anger. I'm still cussing. I still have drinks." But it's just not like, you know, a ding, you're now a new person. It doesn't work that way. You know, can God do it? Yes. But we have to allow God to change those things. We have to surrender those things to him. That's the key thing, is giving up. "Hey, you know what? Lord, I don't like that I swear so much. Take this." And we give it to him, and then he takes it. And then guess what? He blesses you with a double portion of something else. "You know what, Lord? I don't like that I watch all these movies that have all this sexual immorality or such violence. Or, you know what? It has a lot of demonic stuff on it." And then next thing you know, you open your heart and you give it to the Lord and say, "I don't like this." And next thing you know, you have no desire for these things. He gives you a hunger for the word of God. And this is our food. This is our portion. His grace is sufficient for us each and every day. We will not thirst anymore if we drink from his water. And so I want to encourage you, if you are knee deep in any of these, astrology, fortune tellers, palm readers, horoscopes, tarot cards, you know, all of that, numerology, astrology. Is there hope for you if you got knee deep in it? Yes, there is. I've had a couple of times. I've had a guest on here a couple times, Dr. Karen Lindell. She was pulled into the occult. She was lied to and told that she was a good witch. She was the white witch, right? And so she believed the lie. But in the end, she found Christ and she gave all of that up. And now her name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now she's out there telling everybody about the Lord and what the Lord has done for her. So there is redemption for you. You just have to give up all of that stuff. Burn it. Get rid of it. Tarot cards, all that stuff. If you get knee deep into astrology, numerology, get rid of it. It is not from the Lord. We need the Lord and the Lord only. Satan could go in there and be deceiving. He deceived Eve. That's all it took. And now look where we are. Don't risk your salvation over it, right? All right, so our Heavenly Father will tell us who we are. He knows our heart. He plants the talents in there. He plants that personality in you. I am the type where it's like, don't challenge me because I'll take the challenge. And I will say, watch. Now I will go try my best. You know, if I fail, I fail. You know, but God puts those things in us. You want to know who you are, you go to Christ, right? So what is the are the problems with its the Enneagram's promotion as a personality test? Well, the Enneagram is promoted with false information, such as claims that it is ancient, that it has Christian roots in it, but it's false. There's no evidence for this, and it has been debunked. These ideas are still, they're still promoted in Christian Enneagram books by Christian Enneagram teachers, by pastors who support the Enneagram, and there's so many more. You could look up the Enneagram on YouTube, and like, there's so many different, it's good, this is how it's used. Even in the workforce, it is now being used in the workforce for employers to be able to find out what type of employees they have. This is how deceiving the enemy is. He is pushing it in the church and he's pushing it in the workforce. All right. So most assume that the Enneagram, it's a valid personality test, but it has no basis in psychological studies or even research. It's entirely subjective. We found out who created it, and it's arbitrary. It's just a subjective thing. And then on top of that, the Enneagram is interpreted in so many different ways depending on the views of the person or schools like of thought. When you go into all of these philosophies again, you know, doing the interpretation. And then the fact, here's another one, the fact that it is not valid means that people are seeing themselves in certain ways that are not accurate. They trust the Enneagram books or teachers, which will lead to accepting other false teachers and get pulled deeper and deeper into things. So since the Enneagram is surrounded by false beliefs, many teachers and pastors who are promoting this or teaching the Enneagram have also, check this out, recommended a guy by the name of Richard Rohr, or Rohr, it's R-O-H-R, so I don't know how you pronounce his last name. They're recommending him and his books, and he is very, very heretical against Christianity. So let me just leave you with this thought. What should we do when presented with the Enneagram? Here's my scenario. Let me tell you a short story. And this is what happened to me. I was going to a church not far from me. And in order for me to jump into ministry, they wanted me to go to the membership class, the new members class, and go through their course. And so I was like, okay, I'll go do the new members course, become a member of their church. And it was it's a non-denominational church. And so don't let the fact of, oh, well, you were probably going to Assemblies of God, or you were probably going to Nazarene. I was going to a non-denominational church. We went through all of the class. Then at the end of it, they're like, okay, we want you to take this personality test. This personality test will tell us what type of personality you have. That way, when we want to do something in the church, we know the right person to go to, such as Monica. If you are a worship person, you like to sing songs, we would go to you. And if George is one that likes to work as a servant of the Lord, then we'll go to him, right? And so I was like, okay, I was totally new in all this, never heard of the Enneagram, didn't know what it was. It was my first time ever hearing it. So I'm like, okay, cool, fun, I guess. Never heard of a church doing this before. And and this is when I first jumped back into church after getting saved. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to go back into church. And so this was my first church that I stepped into. So I do this test, send it back. And it asks you like all kinds of pretty non-harming questions. You know, what do you think of this statement? What do you think the outcome would be? Do you like roses, or do you like just greenery plants? And I'm just throwing, do you like a tiger, or do you like a horse? Stuff like that, that would seem unharming, right? Well, then you would sit there and you would add up all of your points based on if you have, you know, a bunch of twos and column five, add them up, you know, and you would do all of this, do all this math, and then it would tell you at the end, this is your personality type. And so I was like, wow, okay. And yes, it was spot on. It told me who I was. It was spot on. Sometime later, I was just in the nick of starting this podcast. I was very new in podcasting, and I started just kind of researching different topics and going, okay, how do people podcast? How do people find out subjects that they want to talk about? And I came across a YouTube video about the Enneagram, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I just took this Enneagram test, and it's interesting. I find it. So I watched this video and everything, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I found out that it goes knee deep, further than what I told you. This guy, Gurchev, and I can't remember the other guy's name. Oh, I think it was Ichazo or something like that. He was from, I think it was Peru. Another guy that got involved and took over the Enneagram way back when. And they decided to go deeper. And they started talking to the demonic spirits. And next thing you know, they were doing what they called autonomous writing, which is basically like a demonic spirit taking over your hand. And you are writing something that you're not in control of. And it was supposedly like a demon that was writing through him. And so that's how he ended up creating the Enneagram more into what it is. So see, it has a whole demonic history of this Enneagram. But people, pastors are supporting it. Pastors are getting behind it. They're saying that it helps them. Employers are getting behind it too. So I ended up, when I found all this out, I ended up calling somebody and talking to them about it. And they were like, oh yeah, you shouldn't do the Enneagram. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why didn't you tell me when it comes up to this Enneagram, don't do it, you know, or let me know about it, that this church is doing this. And I didn't know. And I was so angry. So I did up all this study. I was going to go tell the pastor's wife, hey, this isn't right. And because I was new in church, coming back into church after years, 48 years, I believe someone that told me, no, you should not go to them because they're not going to listen. And what I should have done is went and gone and prayed about it first, asked the Lord if I should go speak up, because it should have been a forewarning to that church saying, you get involved with this demonic thing, they were going to answer for it. Well, what happened after that? I left the church. There was a lot of other things going on, and I left. Fast forward to a month ago, maybe it was the beginning of this month. I don't even remember. I heard somebody else. People started speaking up and started going to her and telling this church, this isn't right. Do you know what this Enneagram is about? And this pastor's wife is just like, oh, it's just clickbait. It's just clickbait. And so I wanted to come on here and just kind of present you with what is the Enneagram and should the Christian get involved with this personality test? If you're like me, we should run from it. We should first just stand up and say, no, I'm a daughter of the King. I know who I am in Christ. And don't even let that person lure you into it. Oh, it's nothing. It's just a personality test. No, it's not. We found out that it's more than that. It has demonic background, roots, origins. It comes from all of that mysticism. It's demonic. So I would encourage you to run from it if you have to. Stand for what is right. Trust the word of God that this says who you are and you need nothing else. All right. So I hope that this encouraged you. I hope it gave you some perspective. I hope that it kind of gave you a forewarning that when an Enneagram or any type of personality test, so many of those are coming up on Facebook. You know, what kind of hero are you? What Hollywood star do you line up with? All of it goes back to the roots. It's finding out what is behind this. Who created this? It's not everything is beneficial, right? It's what the Lord says. Everything, you could do it, anything you want. Paul says you can go do whatever you want, but not everything is good. So with that, I hope you have a blessed day. I hope you've learned something from this and you would share it with other people. Maybe somebody else is getting involved in numerology or astrology. You know, so many people think numbers mean so many different things. I've seen pastors come out with, oh, 555, this means triple grace, you know, and I don't know where in the Bible that says 555 means triple grace. You know, I know that the Lord will say that he is full of grace and his grace is sufficient for me, right? I don't need to go by numbers. That's numerology. I want to go by God. All right. So until next week, have a blessed week. And remember, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And remember, lace up those combat boots. It's a battlefield out there. And it's also one right here. Until next week, have a blessed one.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of The Graceful Warrior. Thank you for joining us in the arena where grit meets grace. Remember, every challenge is an opportunity to wield the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the battles and victories that shape our lives. If you've enjoyed the journey, please subscribe and leave us a review. Until next time, keep contending for the faith through grace and grit.